Hey, good morning, Northgate Community Church. It's Pastor Jesse here, and I'm super excited to once again bring today's message across Facebook. Again, if you've been watching us over the last couple of weeks as we do this hybrid kind of in-person, not in-person video sermon series, I just want to welcome you all here. If you want to get to know more about what it is that we're doing here in our church and in our city, there's going to be a little area right down here, right in this area, with an email address. One of the other things, too, is if you've been encouraged by the things, by the messages and the words that we've been saying with all the different stories with our children's ministry, and you would like to give to Northgate Community Church to continue the effort here, you can go also give to Northgate at northgatecommunitychurch.com/giving. You can give tithes and offerings right there. So let's just go ahead and get started into today's message. Like I mentioned last week, we're starting a new series, a four-week series I'm pretty excited about. I've been kind of ruminating and thinking about this message over the last, since we went back into quarantine and not able to meet, helping bridge those gaps between spiritual gifts, fruits of the Spirit, and then what do we do with all of this when we're done, when we have learned the things that we needed to learn, we identify our spiritual gifts, when we kind of begin to live like Jesus and have those fruits of the Spirit kind of manifested in our life, what do we do with that? And so today, we're going to be starting a new series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? All right? So again, if you're a millennial like myself or a Gen Xer or even those boomers, you probably know who I'm talking about, who coined that phrase in that awesome show on PBS. All right, I'll give you 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. That's right, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And growing up, Mr. Rogers was one of those characters, one of these people who was very informative in my life. Between all the lessons that he was teaching kids, and this is kind of an interesting thing about Mr. Rogers that I just recently learned, is he was one of these teachers, right, who would take complex ideas, maybe topics that maybe weren't necessarily super kid appropriate at the time, like talking about death or the loss of somebody, or what happens when someone gets sick, or any of those types of things that are happening, and really, you know, had a like real heart-to-heart talk with the kids. So, but he also did this other kind of interesting thing for the time. He had people that didn't look like him on the show. Right, he was somebody who was able to kind of look past race, ethnicity, social stature, all these different kind of things like privilege. He was able to look beyond that and see the heart of the person, to kind of see who God created them to be. And so that kind of is like the spirit that we're going to be looking at these next couple weeks about when it comes to won't you be my neighbor. Today we're going to in this particular series, we're going to be looking at four different kind of scopes of neighboring. Today, we're going to talk about like your direct neighbor, like who lives next door to you. We're going to expand that out next week. Me and my buddy Doug, we're going to tag team a little sermonette for y'all about the kind of our city, Manteca specific, and maybe even have some take homes for if you don't live in Manteca, what you could start to do to see your city thrive. All right, we're going to be looking at international neighboring. What does it look like to neighbor internationally? And then just kind of wrapping it up with like the Big C Church. What are some of the bigger implications that the church at large probably should have in their back pocket to transition to this post-COVID world? So like I mentioned last week, we have this particular verse that we're going to be using. Kind of for me, it helps a huge help to as we start to traverse this idea of neighboring. And it comes out of Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 6. And we talked about this last week. I'm going to read it over here, read it again here. It says, "This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles I deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Find wives for yourself and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters to men in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there. Do not decrease. Pursue the well-being of the city I have deported you to. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, For when it thrives, you will thrive. And so, if we recall from last week, I kind of teased out this Hebrew word, galah, galah, right? So in this particular passage of scripture, we see that God, again, exiled the Hebrews, these Israelite people, into captivity once again by the occupation of Babylon. So, but what we, again, when we read down, we get down in some word study, we see this idea of galah, galah, that God had sent these people so that something could be revealed to them. And so I truly believe that if you're watching this here today, that God has placed you exactly where you need to be for your neighbors and for your city. All right? You are there, whether you think you like it or not, whether you know it or not. I truly believe that God's doing a great work exactly where you're at, right? And there's people in your community, your direct neighbors, that need to hear the transformative gospel that we have here today. So again, I pose this question, why has God placed you here, all right? Why has God placed you where you're at? What's the one thing that God needs to reveal in your heart so that way you can continue to do and start something new for the kingdom, on behalf of the kingdom. So again, this is kind of an interesting thing that we talked a little bit about Mr. Rogers and how he was able to kind of build friendships with people that were unlike himself. And I think what we also see in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus does, again, a very similar thing. It's almost like Mr. Rogers took a page out of the book of Luke. Let me go ahead and read this passage to you and let's see if we can tease something out here. It's Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 31. So after this, again, I'm just going to, just a quick preface here. Jesus did a whole bunch of crazy things just right before this. He's doing all kinds of miracles. He's calling some of his first disciples. He's kind of shaking things up in his area and people are starting to notice. And what we see here is something also very interesting, countercultural, things that you would never expect somebody to do, especially a rabbi in this particular time. So let me go ahead and read it here. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said, follow me. So leaving everything behind, he got up and began to follow him. This is kind of really interesting, right? We see Jesus going up to people and saying, hey, neighbor, friend, Levi, I know you're really good at doing this particular thing. And again, if we think about Levi and what he was doing as a tax collector, he was a Jewish person in a Roman-occupied space working for Rome. That kind of made him an outlier in his community. Not super well-liked because tax collectors were corrupt, all right? So we have Jesus going to one of his neighbors, somebody that's in his vicinity, really close by, and saying, hey, we're starting this new thing. Stop what you're doing right now and follow me. And it's always really interesting in how compelling Jesus is to these people. It's like almost like he speaks directly to their soul. Continues on. Levi, again, it continues on because Levi is ecstatic is what happened. This is his response. Then Levi hosted a grand banquet for him at his house. Now there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were guests with them. But the Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus replied to him, it is not those who are healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, if we think about this particular context in today's world, Levi again hosted a huge party. Now, who would have Levi invited, right? People that he knew, right? Neighbors, friends, relatives, business folks, right? These are people that were probably pretty close to Levi that wanted to go and have their friends experience this life-altering transformation power that Jesus was dishing out. And so we see here that the who are the type of people that, again, in this particular passage that Levi or Matthew invites, he says, large crowd of tax collectors and others who were guests with him. In some translations, it says that there are people who actively look at doing sin. Right? People who are actively finding new ways to create new ways of basically disobeying God. But I think Jesus' response to the Pharisees is like, because again, the Pharisees were like, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Right? Why would you eat and drink with people who aren't like us? Why would you eat and drink with people who don't adhere to our religious constructs and systems? Jesus, and the only way Jesus knows how to do, and often and all the time does, just slams it out of the park and says, it is not those who are healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When I read that particular passage, I think about our neighbors. I think about the people in our cities, the things that we want to do to transform our city. It's not just because we want to be cool or the first, but because there's kind of a, there's definitely a mandate and a sense of urgency that we could be, that can be found. That there are people who we don't technically, that we don't associate with right now, who need to get on board and part of the team to make the kingdom complete. Right? Let me say that again. There are people that we don't hang out with or associate with now that need to join our team in order to make the kingdom complete. Right? And there's always going to be those people, just like we see here in Jesus' time, who are going to be naysayers, who are going to try to discourage us from doing the thing that Jesus has called us to do. Jesus had a very specific mission that he was set out to do, right? And he called people that were unconventional to be a part of his team. I think that's something that we could take away here today, that as we continue to share the gospel with our neighbors, that those neighbors who don't know Jesus, they need to be part of Team Jesus, right? At the end of the day, that's the goal, is getting those folks who don't know Jesus to be on Team Jesus. So one of the questions that I was asking myself when processing this information is like, who actually are our neighbors? Like, who are the actual people that live next door to us who we may or may not know? Something really cool, if you haven't jumped on board with Bless Every Home, it's a way for you to get an email every day with the names of your neighbors so you can begin to pray for them. Again, it's super convenient. You can go to the website, blesseveryhome.org, and you can sign up and then make Northgate your affiliated church. And you can begin to pray for those folks that live literally next door to you. So one of the cool benefits that we get from being a partner with Bless Every Home is we get legitimate, detailed numbers about the people that live in our city right here. The people that live, work, commute from, sleep, eat, we have information that tells us exactly who those folks are. And I'm just gonna give you just some highlights, or maybe lowlights, or maybe some revelation numbers that would kind of let you know who exactly is here in our town. So first off, we actually have a pretty high number, and this is one of the things that they point out, a pretty high number of single moms kind of in the low income area. There's a lot of red dots on this map that shows that there's a lot of single moms with low income. It shouldn't be a super huge shock to us, but our population here in Manteca is 45% Hispanic, right? Shouldn't be a huge shocker. We actually have a pretty big population of Sikh and Pakistani folks that live just right on the other side of our fence here at Northgate Community Church. That's one of the second largest populations, third largest, I mean. One other interesting thing, and I don't know if this is like unique to Manteca or if this is just the aggregate and the average of all people, but there's about 45% single of our population is single, like not married. Like there's a lot of, you know, a lot of married people, but there's actually a pretty large amount of just single, not married folks in our community. it's really interesting the way that the income versus education seems to relate to each other. Our income, our general median income is around $40,000 to $100,000 per year. Not too bad. But it's really interesting when we get down to the education side, all right, that there's a lot of folks who have some high school or have completed high school and those who have some college. Right? There's actually very few folks in our town who haven't graduated high school or have any kind of upper level degrees. We have high school and some college. When I see those numbers paired up with the income, I kind of get this idea that we got a lot of hustlers, right? A lot of people who put their nose to the grindstone, who feet to the fire, a lot of motivated people in our community doing great work. And again, this shouldn't be a super, super huge shock or as well, but the majority age range in Manteca is between the ages of 36 and 44. That's the largest population here in Manteca. So when we start looking at some of this information, when we start getting to know our neighbors who lives next door to us, what does that actually mean, right? How does that begin to shape the focus of the new work and current work that is happening in our churches and through our nonprofits, right? This information, knowing the static information that we have here, that should really begin to help refocus and point. Says, man, we've been throwing darts at this dartboard and not getting any results. Oh, that's because we should have been throwing darts at this dartboard, right? So as we begin to process this, that's one of the good questions, is how do we get to know, the main question is gonna be, how do we get to know our neighbors, right? We have all these people that are from different diversity groups, different age ranges, different incomes. Here are some like practical, these are the way things that I tend to do whenever I meet somebody, when I get to meet my neighbors. Now, first and foremost, a lot of people say, Jesse, you're a pretty gregarious person. You're outgoing, have lots of energy. You could talk to a brick wall for like 20 hours and convince that wall to, you know, buy a red Corvette. I get it. Not everybody's personality and temperament's the same, but I really think that these four things could really help us get to know our neighbors, even during a pandemic, all right? We're slowly starting to get out of our houses. We're slowly starting to see some people venturing out. But again, this also applies if you're trying to stay, again, at home and safe as well. One of the big things that I oftentimes find with community leaders and people who live in neighborhoods is find the gatherer. And what do I mean by that? Now, if you are driving up and down your street, right, and you always seem to see this one house that has all the parties, right? Or there's always the one house that seems to always have the one, like a bunch of people or a few people kind of always outside. This is the person that's always outside saying, hey, how's it going? Come on over, those kinds of folks. In the church planting world, through the Brethren Church, we would call that person a gatherer. The person is a people magnet, right? People always seem to be flowing to this particular person's house. So that's one of the interesting things that I've seen during the COVID world, during the first quarantine, is it's interesting. We all were like shut in, right? We all couldn't go outside. But I started seeing our neighbors outside actually a little bit more. And it was interesting as the quarantine, you know, slowly lifted, that some of these gatherer neighbors started actually showing up. One of the interesting ways that that's happened, at least in our particular neighborhood, sometimes the gatherer, the person of contact, the person who's getting the neighborhood rallied together, might not actually be an adult. Let that sink in for a second. The gatherer in our situation, in our part of the neighborhood, is actually a little boy named Chase. This little kid, he's probably like 2 or 3 years old. He gets everybody together, And this house where Chase lives at, it seems to be a hub, a safe place for a lot of the neighbor kids. So again, it's kind of interesting as we keep our eyes out, our eyes open to our neighbors, maybe these people that we need to get to know, or they're already there and they can help you get to know and get the pulse of your neighbors. Again, it's been really interesting to see this little boy kind of open up our community over in that Wingate area. It's really exciting. Another way to get to know your neighbors, all right? So first off, find that gatherer kid or adult or somebody in your community that seems to know everybody. Number two, make it awkward, all right? What do I mean by that? I think sometimes that we get hung up on the awkwardness of relationships or introducing ourselves. Heck, I even have a neighbor that calls me Jamie every single time she sees me, and I have yet to make it awkward with her to tell her, my name's actually Jesse. I know, it's kind of awkward. But I always say make it awkward, and by way of just saying, hi, my name is Jesse, right? Or hey, my name is Sally. Sometimes we just feel awkward about introducing ourselves to other adults, especially when we've lived next door to some of these people for a year, 5 years, 10 years, right? I have a neighbor a couple streets down, a couple doors down. I mean, they don't ever come out. I don't ever see them. And that's okay. That's how they love to live, and that's totally cool. But again, make it awkward, right? By just introducing yourself and just saying, hey, I'm into sports or whatever like that. Finding that commonality, just saying hi, just letting our neighbors know that, hey, we're safe folks. You could rely on us. Hey, you know, we can come in and water your plants or take care of your animals while you're away. Again, we can't make those first steps if we can't get past our own social awkwardness, right? So make it awkward the first time. And I usually, and this is, you know, not scientifically proven, but the next couple times, it makes it a lot easier. All right, so find that gatherer. You know, if you're not somebody who can go out and just like talk to brick walls for hours, find somebody who can help you. That would be awesome. Number two, make it awkward just by introducing yourself, all right? This is the third thing on my list here. This, you know, and you can take it or leave it, but I find it incredibly helpful, is I always try to get the cell phone number of every single neighbor that I have. And let me tell you why this is super important. I had a neighbor whose dog got out of their yard, and I basically was the owner of this animal for about 8 to 12 hours while the owner was at work. So, no big deal. Owner came back, gave the dog back to them, and he was super appreciative. What I started doing, because of these types of situations with my neighbors, because it happens a lot, dogs get out watching for houses while people are gone, is it makes it so much more practical and so much more personal to be like, hey Danny, I think there's something up with your dog, right? Or hey, what's my other neighbor's name? Hey Ada, your other dog got out or whatever like that too. So it usually makes it helpful because that's an entry point to just connecting with neighbors at a different level, especially during this pandemic, we shouldn't be hanging out with people, but it can be an entry point to just check in on those folks that live around you. All right, so find the gatherer, make it awkward, get a number, get that cell phone number. And then if you end up building enough relational equity with your neighbor, you get to know them, you get to know their story, invite them to things that you love doing, right? Things are opening up a little bit. We can social distance outside. Invite your neighbor to do things that you're passionate about. This idea of shared experiences with people is huge. This is one of the main ways that helps solidify relationships for the long run. If you can find something, a commonality between people, I mean, it's awesome. Recently, one of the big things that I've been doing as a way of connecting with neighbors is sharing my newly developed passion for smoked meat, all right? You know, make a rack of ribs, share some ribs with some neighbors, all right? Get some brisket, share some brisket with neighbors who really love that type of thing. Again, it could be sports. It could be underwater basket weaving. It could be anything. It could be our September 6th outdoor worship session, right? People are hungry for relationships. People are hungry to connect. One of the interesting things that's developed with our MUSD family and connections is there's a deep desire for adults to connect with other adults, right? So that relational aspect of having a kid in your MUSD system, a lot of these parents are just still feeling super isolated. Like, they don't have any support, their friend group is shrunk. Again, all kinds of ways to connect throughout our city. So again, find that gather. This is, again, ways to get to know our neighbors, right? Find that gather, find that person that loves to hang out with people so you can get to know the people that live in your neighborhood. Again, make it awkward, introduce yourself, bring over a thing of cookies if they're safe. Send over that, get that number, right? I always try to get that text message number. Usually always works out great. Again, invite them, that shared experience. So again, as we begin to land the plane here, there are so many other different ways that we can connect with neighbors. And this is just the four things that is kind of like, you know, sprouted up in my own life on how I like to get to know our neighbors. We are living again in a time where we're the most connected, but we're also the most isolated. And there's a lot of folks that just need a friend, right? We have neighbors who are alone, who just need somebody to know that they're there. And let me tell you, we've been doing this in our neighborhood, and it's been really great to be able to build relationships, to know people beyond their street addresses, to get to know their story, and be able to interact in ways that we probably would never have done. So again, won't you be my neighbor? All right, let's try to be like Jesus. Let's try to be like Mr. Rogers. Let's be able to see folks beyond where they're at and be able to get deep in relationship with folks. Let me go and pray for us today. So Jesus, thank you for today, Lori. Thank you for your word. I just pray that as we continue to navigate these waters of the pandemic, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to bring opportunities to begin to see our neighbors, who they are. And those are people who are made in the image of you, Lord. So again, we just pray for those opportunities, Lord. Help us to see, help us to have this revelation about our community, about our direct neighbors, Lord. Because, Lord, when the city thrives, when the people thrive, the city thrives, Lord. So that's what we desire, not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of your kingdom. So, Lord, I just pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you so much, folks. Have a blessed rest of your weekend.